Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian. Yes, I am the Barbarian on the radio airwaves. This is our fun show tonight. Welcome to the Space Age Bachelor Pad and our new Blog Talk radio show, Von Wehhunt and the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, with an epic retro encore episode tonight, with an encore star date of June 15th, 2021 AD. And tonight is a very special night, and I welcome you all to the Bachelor's Den of America. This is our new radio show and our epic encore episode tonight. And the theme tonight is, again, the Bachelor King rules the world. And this show will be the encore episode in a series that will span 1,000 years. As the Bachelor Kingdom is reborn in America and around the world. The next Bachelor show will be episode 3, which will be on July the 6th. And that is always the first Tuesday of the month. Now, this is a special encore show. I thought it was a large gap between our last show on June 1st to July the 6th. So I thought we'd go ahead and have a new show, an encore show, kind of a recap of our first two episodes tonight. This show is based on my hit book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. It's the retro and modern-day bachelor guide for the new Renaissance man of the millennium and beyond. Now, we have listeners all over the country, and, of course, we will always have our Thursday show, our hard-hitting political show in 2 days, of course. But we kick it back on this show, take it down a notch, get away from the crazy politics of the nation. But we do talk about how the nation, how politics and current events and the economy affects you, the man in the street, affects the bachelor in America. Maybe he's about to get married. Maybe he's not. Maybe he wants to go MGTOW, which stands for men going their own way. Whatever the cause, whatever the man, whoever the bachelor is, the man with no name, this show is for you. We'll start with the Animal House Frat Pledge.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant at Arms. Do your duty.
Now on your Delta Tau Chi name is Weasel. Now on your name is Mothball. Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman is giving this a lot of thought. From now on, your name is Flounder.
Flounder?
We now consecrate the bond of obedience. Assume the position.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yes. Every generation has its destiny, and for the young men of the atomic age, it was nothing less than to have the world as their personal oyster, and then to wash it down with a dry martini. Between 1954 and 1964, a new masculine archetype flourished in America, fresh from victory in World War II and gorged on the fruits of affluence. American men developed a democratized pop culture form of dandyism for the masses, a cult of style and leisure and gadgets and cars and women based on the carefree life of bachelorhood with a well-paying office job and the benefits of the growing sexual pent-up revolution, the quote, swinging bachelor could cultivate a carefree and symbiotic lifestyle based on everything that was modern and hip. In short, for the first time in American history and lexicon, a man born in America after World War II could become a playboy. Now, that's where we're at today. This is the first time in American history that a man could become a playboy or go MGTOW or do what he wants to do. In prior generations and eons of time, a man always had to fight wars, always had to get drafted. Men had to always tend the farm and the ranch. In America, though, after World War II, we were flush with victory and flush with cash. So gentlemen, pirates, and rat pack bastards worldwide, tonight I want you to put your best red velvet smoking jacket on. Light up your cigar or pipe with your favorite vintage and cool lighter. Get the cufflinks ready. Wear your favorite leather loafers and slick back that hair retro Goodfellas Italiano style with your favorite manly numero uno cologne as we delve into the bachelor universe and galactic cosmos with wild abandon. This radio show is based and dedicated on my hit book published in October of 2012 entitled The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, and is found at all fine bookstores everywhere and online, coast to coast, and I know you'll surely enjoy it. So let's start the show, America, as we are always on the lookout for the lovely lady female ambushers. Based on the Dean Martin Matt Helm movie in 1967, which made the ambushers and the sleigh girls retro famous, as they were so sexy. So whether she is blonde, a brunette, or a redhead, it's all good to us in the Bachelor's Den. And without further ado, let the show begin.
Deep end in the drink, female General Custer. Ah, they get you with the hay.
Hey!
They get you in disguise. They get you with their lips, their hips, and their smile, their style, their eyes. They get you cheek to cheek, down the aisle and up the creek.
Oh, yes. Think of this great show as your infamous and rogue Playboy Mansion on the air, where it's always cocktail hour. The bar is always open, where there are always lots of women in variety to keep the bachelor's focus and game on, where the bar is always open 24/7, where you can have a good smoke and a good broad. In the words of James Bond in Spy World, you will have pussy galore. That's your choosing young Jedi bachelor night. We will party like the Rat Pack, Las Vegas style, and live large. And the secret to life is this. Living well is the best revenge. And be the man you always wanted to be. Be the man you were destined to be. This show is positive motivation for the men out there in America. Any woman can walk into any bookstore and find 1,000 books on young females that are not married yet or whatever, bachelorettes. But there's no shows unlike mine that are dedicated to you, the man on the street, the man in America, the bachelor. So whether you stay a bachelor or someday get married and have children, remember, you always do it on your terms, on your manly terms, on your time and schedule. And there is no substitute for victory, no real excuse for failure, my friends. I welcome you again to the Bachelor's Den tonight. This is an epic encore show. We will have some great callers that will call in later. But you're out there in the streets and you are a machismo male. Everyone's out to get you. Sometimes they really are out to get you, and you can feel it, can't you? Well, our country has evolved. The bachelor has evolved. Now we are stealth. You still go into a restaurant. It's still a table for two. It's always double occupancy. Our whole culture is based on table for two, right? So you feel a little odd that you're going through life solo. Actually, going through life solo until you meet that special lady is the way to go. Hold your fire, boys. Don't marry the first girl you see. Take your time. And if you want to never get married, that's also okay. Don't feel that you're pressured by society or your family or your siblings to do something that you will regret, to do something that you will that will haunt you financially and legally for the rest of your life. We are machismo. And we wear numero uno cologne.
Four men on a search. Each man different. Living his own way. Searching. Discovering numero uno. The new thing in colognes for men. In all the world, there are only four basic masculine scents. Here's the best of each. Numero uno gold. Numero uno green. Numero uno red. Numero uno silver. Four numero uno colognes. All different. All wild. Find yours with a searcher kit. A jigger of each scent. Then get a full-size bottle of the one that makes it for you.
Numero uno.
Oh, yes, we always wear numero uno cologne.
Los Angeles weather.
Low overcast tonight, low around 58, mostly sunny tomorrow with a high near 68. No smog, beaches now 62, valley 66, downtown 65, Orange County 66.
Don't dare stare at the illustrated man.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, yes, glad you're here tonight. Guy wrote the show, and he goes, Von Wehunt, are you kidding me? You're asking us what's freedom, what's it really like? Man, I love your show. It's the best. And Von, freedom is the greatest. You do what you want, when you want, have all the friends and mistresses you want, live the life you truly want to live. And I ask you and your great audience nationwide, what's the alternative, man? Let me get this straight. Homer Simpson, Al Bundy, Ralph Cramden, everybody laughs at Raymond and every other sick TV dad or husband in history who was always portrayed as a loser. At that point in the sitcom, you stopped rising as a man. You hit your peak and you're living a slow death under ever, ever increasing demands, emotional and financial. As you increasingly truly wish for peace, you live under a perpetual burden of a family tying you down, though you may love them dearly, when maybe you'd rather be doing something else. And aside from what questionable pleasures you get from it, the only benefit is your progeny, and if you're codependent, as you're hoping and planning for retirement, so that maybe one day in the future, you can really do what you want. He goes on to say, I was never quite sure I wanted to, quote, grow old with somebody. And that's where I'm at in life. Bachelors are people who do what they want to do and are smart enough to not make the same mistake even once. Now, that was a great email to the show. If you'd like to reach the show, you can always call us tonight, 563-999-3437, or email us at vonwehenshow@gmail.com. We also have a lively chat room tonight. You want to get on with that as well. We have listeners in 15 countries, and we are nationwide. And we're so glad everyone's here tonight. Here's some information for you. Here's the century breakdown of why marriage to some men is obsolete. Let's say you wanted to marry a woman, and let's say you were looking and you were in that marriage market. Now, a lot of guys are in their late 20s and 30s and early 40s. The problem is you can't walk into a Kmart or a Walmart or any kind of a Target store and pick a wife off the shelf. And doing that is going to be a complete disaster. So you got to know a little bit about the politics and the socialization of America and how we've evolved as men and women to kind of know where you're at in 2021. I'll go through a real brief rundown here. This is sort of a cliff note version of where we're at. 1973 in America, abortion was legalized. Women could then choose which men not to breed with, but men who did breed were either trapped or maybe celibate. In 1989, there was a case of Michael versus Gerald D., which forced cuckold men to pay child support to cheating wives. In 1994, there was the Violence Against Women Act, which made men automatically guilty in domestic violence cases, even upon mere baseless accusations put forth by the woman and or her attorney. In 2010, there were no-fault divorce laws that now exist in every state where the dissolution of a marriage does not require a showing of wrongdoing by either party, but women do get, in most cases, child custody. The house, your house, that you will be kicked out of, and child support, and on top of that, possible alimony. And if you, the man, can't pay for any reason, she and her attorney will say, F you, pay me, or you go to jail, go directly to jail. You do not get out for a while. They have to send you a clear message that this isn't your world anymore, bucko. You got to pay the man or else. So, in 2020, during the COVID crisis, they thought there would be a marriage boom, or a baby boom. That still remains to be seen. But in 2021, if you're still seriously thinking about marriage, that's all well, fine, and good. Just find a woman you hate and then give her all of your money. That's just a joke, of course. So when you ask, is it hard to live as a bachelor your whole life? I ask you back, what's the opposite of quiet desperation? So there's a lot going on in America and the undercurrent in the riptide. We do talk about that a lot. And a lot of you guys are out there. We appreciate you. You're writing the show. You want to know what's going on. You want to, call us up. And a lot of you guys will email the show, of course. And look, we've had this before where a lot of our soldiers have been overseas. There was a lot of anecdotal information that after World War II, our soldiers loved being in Europe. They could get sex from the European women for a chocolate bar and a pack of cigarettes, if that. It was rampant. They had to pry the GIs out of Europe after it was bombed to oblivion, which I've talked to many World War II vets about that before. And it just goes to show you that it's all relative and it all depends on the time and era. The bachelor of the 1950s became the 60s bachelor, the 70s disco bachelor, and it sounds a little bit like this.
Don't want me. If there's a remedy, I'll run from.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love that. A little disco beat here to kind of get you in the mood. Now, I'll now read you a chapter, a little micro chapter here in my book. People say, man, your book's so big. The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. Oh, my God. It's a thick book. It is because the galaxy is very large. And remember, this is a galactic book of everything that can affect the Bachelor. Every man in America needs this book. Give it to your son. Give it to your uncle. Give it to your divorced dad. Give it to your married dad. Give it to your son in college. Think of me as the father and the uncle that you never had, the big brother that you always wished you had. Well, this book will guide you through life, give you positive affirmations, positive inspiration to go forward. Now, I have a chapter entitled, which I will read direct from my book, called Bachelors Love Women and the Women Love Them Back. I love women. Most bachelors, if not all, love a woman's grace, her charm, looks, and her sexy, feminine style, all her luscious curves. It is a huge mistake to think that the reason why men are bachelors is somehow because they do not like or even love women. We love women so much, we can't settle down with just one of them, at least in this life and moment of time. We love women so much, we need to make sure we spread our wealth and seed to as many real women as possible. Most bachelors like to be with various and assorted women that they find intriguing, interesting, and of course, sexy. Instead of living the day-to-day grind with one woman for the rest of your life, though nothing wrong with that, and suffering from the doldrums and day-to-day drama. The rogue bachelor of today does not necessarily want to grow old with one woman per se, though he does leave that option open, but rather he wants his life full of many great women as his lovers and girlfriends and caregivers throughout his entire adult life. He wants to canoodle and cavort with as many beautiful women as possible. As the Europeans always say, variety is the spice of life. Love it and live it. The rogue bachelor has his whole entire life to finally get married or raise children. But right now is definitely not the time. And just remember that whatever gets you through the night is all right. And that's a chapter from The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. I mean, also wrote the show and said, Dear Vaughn, I think of all the normal church girls I've been with, girls who are angling to get a marriage partner. They really square me up everywhere I go, like a car in a dealer's auto lot or auto yard. They poke at me. They laugh at me. They even ask me about my income, God forbid. He says, you should never get married for sex. The problem is that in the church, we are told to save ourselves for the marriage night. So when we are in our 20s, we have this huge, humongous, raging hormone desires in us that want to be quenched. And it's all happily denied by the church as sin. You don't want to crucify Jesus to you on the cross, says the preacher man. Please, Jesus was a friend of prostitutes, fun. So a lot of young people get married for the wrong reasons, then spend the rest of their lives unhappy and seeing the church counselor. So yes, I enjoy my life as a bachelor. I try to keep myself busy and social doing certain other activities I enjoy. I go to a movie club and attend summer school right now where I meet tons of chicks. Of course, it would be wonderful to meet a girl of my dreams and settle down and have kids. But I realize I can't go through life pining away for it. A lot of guys have this dream too, but guess what? It sometimes doesn't work, so we end up with a lot of messy and expensive divorces. Marriage and settling down and having a kid shouldn't be the only goal of men. Our society makes you feel incomplete if you aren't married. So what I say, the same friends who tell me to get married are also complaining endlessly about their lives, and I think they're losers. How about those apples? And with that, Let's go to Jake Vegas on the Las Vegas Strip to chime in tonight. Jake, how are you doing tonight, man?
Baron von Weehood, I'm fantastic. It's great to talk to you again, my friend, as always. How are you?
Yes, doing great, my friend. Ah, this is the Fun Bachelor Show, and what would you like to talk about tonight, man?
Well, you know what weighs on my mind, and you had a pristine intro, as always, my friend. You're gifted from God with your voice for radio, and your topic tonight about marriage is exactly what I've been thinking about for the past couple of weeks. And, you know, the institution of marriage today is something that I would advise a young man or even an older man, especially an older successful man, to be very careful, very wary. Let me ask anybody out there that's thinking about getting married, why on earth would you enter into a legally binding contract with some woman that allows her to leave you for any reason in a no-fault state and take half your stuff? What,
yes.
What parallel bizarro universe would you be in that you think that would be a good idea? Especially if you're a guy that's out there, you've got a job, maybe you've got a house. I can tell you a quick anecdotal story about the guy who was living behind me in my house in Henderson. When I moved in there back in 2010, there was a younger dude. He was about 30. He was a successful massage therapist, which kind of surprised me. I didn't know that massage therapists could make that kind of money, but he had a brand new Mustang that he was driving, beautiful car, nice three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath house, about 1,700 square feet, decent neighborhood, and the guy was single. And, you know, I saw him bringing in and out girls from time to time, you know, as most men do, kind of, you know, you're cycling through girlfriends. And then there was a girl that stuck around. Sure enough, they got married. They had a kid. As the years progressed, I'm talking about 2013, 2014. All of a sudden, a couple years passed, I no longer saw my friend. He was no longer there. But the girl was. She took his house. She took
God.
The house gone. And then I remember, and again, I don't mean to prolong this anecdote, but this was kind of a funny story. I came home one night from work. Before the pandemic, I was working 12-hour, 13-hour days.
I know you were.
12-hour days, earning money to pay my mortgage in my house in the same neighborhood. And there was two cop cars parked in the driveway. And it's, you know, without going into too much detail, we kind of share a common, we share a fence for our backyard. I went into my backyard and I could overhear the conversation she was having with the police. And she was explaining why she called and that her ex-husband had come to the house and quote unquote, cut the power to the house and was harassing her. Okay. Now I'm not advocating for that at all. Not at all.
Right.
I don't know what was going on. I have no idea what was going on. But what I can tell you is that it sounded like the guy had gone crazy and he had lost the house and all of his possessions, 50% of his income, and this
guy,
he wasn't living there anymore, but she sure as hell was. You know, who knows what happened? I don't know what happened, but I remember thinking at the time, cautionary tale about getting married. Why would you do it? And I'll tell you something else that's been on my mind right now in our day and age, we've got our, you know, proliferation of all kinds of different dating apps, you know, and I run into people all the time and say, you know, Jake, you know, you're in your 40s. Why would you date a younger girl? Why would you date a girl that's in her 20s? I'm like, are you nuts? Why would I date a girl that's my age? Number one.
Right. Why would I not date somebody in their 20s? Why would I not do that is my question back to them, you know?
Exactly. And, you know,
they're a lot hotter for one thing.
Oh, they're much hotter. They're much better at rearing children. And they're, you know, this is kind of an odd thing, but, you know, when women are your age, you know, if you're dating your social equal, they are not interested in a man who is their social equal. They're looking for somebody who's much more successful than they are. So if you're, making whatever, 50, 60, 70, I don't know, $100,000 a year, and you're in that bracket, and you meet a woman who's maybe making the same or maybe a little bit more, she's not going to be interested in you. So if you're going to find a woman who's actually interested, you're probably going to be looking for a girl who's younger anyway.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And Jake, historically, it works very, very well. The older, established, secure male with the younger, hot female. It's the perfect marriage, to coin a popular phrase, because the older man gets her youth and beauty and attractiveness, and she gets his security, mentorship, and she can live off his wealth very, very well, and that's why they're 100%. Usually very, very happy. They're very happy 100%. Because each gets what they want, and that's from the caveman days, man, as you well know, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're the only country in the world where we're hung up on age. Women go, oh, she's, if you're more than like really a five-year differential in age, women freak out. Oh, my God. He's 40. Oh, she's 32. Oh, my God. He's robbing the cradle. You know, in South America, it's extremely normal for a virile 50, 60-year-old man to be with a 25-year-old. Extremely normal. It might be his second wife or his third. Yeah.
That's right. It might be his fourth. But, you know, if you think about it, if you're a man and you're established and you are looking to raise a family, you are looking to have kids, then think about this. If let's say you're 40 years old, you're making 50 grand a year, just throwing it out there. Maybe you're a hardworking dude working at a store. I don't know. And you meet a girl in that same bracket. Now you put those two together, you got $100,000 a year. Now that's not a bad living, right? So you're obviously going to have the courtship, the honeymoon phase. You're making $100,000. Maybe you go in on a pretty decent house together. But now you decide to start that family. She gives birth. Now she needs to quit her job to take care of the kids. So your income just got cut in half. So what I'm saying is if you're a man that has reached that point in your life where you can raise a family and you marry, you know, let's say you're pushing 50 or maybe you are 50, 52 or something like that. And you hook up with a girl who's 24, 25. She's probably not earning any real income. For her to move into your house, or you're maybe making $65,000, $75,000, $100,000 a year, this is going to be a giant step forward compared to anything that she would be able to provide for herself. I'm talking on average. There are exceptions to the rule, of course. But on average, if you pick up this girl that's in her 20s and you move into this lifestyle of $100,000, $125,000, that she doesn't really need to quit her job. You're not going to have this massive adjustment in income level when she gets pregnant and gives birth to the kid and has to stay home and help raise them. And meanwhile, that guy who's in the prime of his earning, as we know that your prime years for earning, where you're making the most money, you know, based on your experience and your education, experience more than anything, as we know, is what makes you have the ability to earn the most money. You're not going to have that until you're in your 40s or early 50s. You know, that's where you're going to be able to go, now I can work a fewer hours, command a better income, maybe only work 3 or 4 days a week, spend some time with those kids, and also have a full-time mom to look out for those kids. But again, now that problem, what I would caution guys on is if you're marrying a girl who doesn't bring anything to the plate, if she doesn't bring anything to offer, you better protect yourself because she can just divorce you and take half your stuff. So it's a real problem.
That's right. You know, it's like my dad said, I'm sure you're a father too. You know, it's real dicey, son, he would say. He would say, be real careful. You know, and my father was a bachelor on the Air Force bases. And he said, I loved being a bachelor. He was chasing skirt on the Air Force bases in the 50s, late 40s. And he goes, until I met your mother. And he met my mother at a poker game, and then the rest is history. But he goes, I was, you know, smitten by her, and that's life. That's God's will, right? That's a good thing. But he all, you know, it's like your cautionary tales are spot on, Jake. Man, you got to be really careful because the laws are stacked against you. And really, getting married is it's really a roll of the Vegas dice, right? And you're from the Las Vegas Strip. You know that better than anybody. It really is the chance that you take. And I tell guys, one of the main reasons to get married is if you want children, and or if you can't live without her, or if she's richer than you, which is very, very rare. But you're right, most women come to the table, to be blunt, guys, nothing but harassed, to be honest with you. They don't bring any money.
Correct.
They no assets. Let's be frank here. She brings nothing but her beautiful physical attractiveness. And that's basically it. And if that's enough for you, then so be it. Go ahead, man.
Oh, I was going to say, just kind of an offshoot, another thing I was kind of thinking about over the past couple of weeks is, you know, the rise and the emergence of this hashtag Me Too movement has really put a kibosh. It's made it very difficult for men to pursue women, maybe, you know, if you were on the Air Force base like your father was, or, you know, if you're pursuing women in your social circle, the primary people that participate in your social circle, well, you probably know from work, especially if you're a hardworking guy and you're spending 5, 6, 7 days a week at work, 10, 11, 12 hours a day at work, as I'm sure you have, as I have in the past, prior to the pandemic shutdown and all that kind of stuff. And what I've seen here in Las Vegas is the noticeable rise of the sugar baby economy. And, you know, I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or indifferent, but in a way it helps men who are established, because these women now, it's become very socially acceptable that they just put it right out there. They're blunt about it. They go on Tinder or one of these other dating apps, and they say, hey, I'm looking for a sugar daddy. And they're in their 20s, you know, they're 25 or something like that, and you've got an established man who's maybe 40, 45, whatever, who's making the money, who can come in and say, okay, you know, we're going to have an agreement here that it's going to be a little bit more transactional. Here in Las Vegas, it's very prominent. I don't know about your neck of the woods, but I kind of understand where that's all coming from. You know, the women want to be taken care of, and, you know, maybe it's better for the guy because, you know, if you're working out some kind of a sugar baby arrangement with some girl, I don't know what it might cost you, $1,000 a month or something like that. How much is that compared to what it's going to cost you if you marry her and she takes your house?
Right, right. This is where a lot of middle-aged men in the 70s and 80s, they lost their houses. I can't tell you, Jake, how many guys I used to see in corporate America that said they would open up their wallet, right? And they would say, this used to be my house. This used to be my Cadillac. This used to be my Harley motorcycle. This used to be whatever. This right here was my cabin in the woods. And I would say, as the young up-and-coming young buck bachelor, I'd say, well, where'd all those really cool things go? He would say, in my divorce. They're gone. Sayonara. She took it all. The judge took it all. And I go, well, where are you living at now, man? Because I really wanted to know. I was, you know, 24, 25, 26. He'd say, well, not that he was living in a van down by the river, but close. He'd say, I'm living in this flea bag apartment in central part of town. I'm surrounded by militant Democrats. I hear shootings every night. My car gets broken into about once a month. And he goes, my kids now have been taught to hate me by my ex-bitch wife, right? And he said, I still owe alimony and child support, so I'll be indebted for the next 25 years. And he said, what I'm trying to tell you is, son, whatever you do, son, they would look at me dead square. And I'm telling you, Jake, I had 1,000, at least, to be honest, couple hundred men tell me this, whatever you do, son, don't marry. And they said, unless you have a burning desire to have children, don't do it, because you're going to end up like me. And you're right. The women are like biblical locusts, and they bring nothing to the table. But then women bring 70% of divorces in America, which is in my book. And guys need to know this. And then they, like locusts, they take everything you've got. And that's how women get ahead in life, why they're always pushing marriage, because to them, there's money in it, baby, right? There's cash. Cold, hard cash. You know?
I have an interesting anecdote. I'll make it quick. I was on a private plane. This was a job assignment that I did. I ended up with hanging out for an entire day with this guy who was a captain of industry. I'm not going to name him. If I did name him, believe me, for you and your listeners out there, you would know the name, okay? This guy is fairly prominent. You would definitely know his business. Very wealthy man, self-made, brought himself to untold riches. I mean, the guy had a private plane. You know, we were flying out to California, and I was talking to him, and he and I were just really laying it online, having some drinks and getting along great, and he explained to me that he was going through some problems with his wife. She had gotten him an iPhone, the iWatch, the Apple Watch, and he had screwed up. You know, he was cheating on her, caught him looking at the Apple Watch. She busted him. So, you know, the guy is very wealthy. Yeah. And so he was telling me he was really upset. He was having to go to all this marriage counseling to get things fixed. And I asked him, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what is going on? Like, you know, well, you know, she's threatening me with divorce. I said, well, you know, if she goes and gets a lawyer or whatnot and she decides to divorce you, you know you don't have to sign the papers, right? He goes, yeah, I know, you know, but she's really pushing this marriage counseling stuff. I hate it. You know, I don't want this. I said, let me ask you something. What did she bring to the table? Did she build the business from the ground up? Does she have a private jet? He said, no, pretty much the only thing she does all day is spend my money. I said, well,
that's
why
right.
Don't you tell her this? Instead of going to marriage counseling, tell her, hey, you know you want a divorce, but the answer is no. The answer is no. He didn't want to get divorced because he didn't want to lose $40 million worth of business.
That's right. And that's how women get ahead. Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, he goes, what do you mean? I said, listen, you don't have to agree to this. You tell her, hey, if you think that you can just go and make your own business or go and earn your own private jet, then go do it. But in the meantime, I'm going to do what I want to do. We're going to stay married. And if you don't like it, tough bananas. And, you know, he looked at me, and it was kind of a shocked look on his face. And he goes, you know, Jake, I honestly never thought of that. And I told him, just tell her no. Just do whatever you want.
Right.
I said, you built the business. It's your private jet. It's your millions upon millions of dollars. She would be out on the street. What would she be doing? Would she be building a business? No.
No.
You know, I'm not saying women can't
no
do that.
Way.
They can't. But, hey, if you're really that unhappy, then leave the guy. Just leave him. Why do you have to take half his stuff? Why do you have to take half his stuff? Because you don't have it yourself and you feel entitled. It's like what you said.
They're all empowered now. Empowered. The females in America are empowered. Empowered. And they want
to
lord over you boys out there.
If they're going to be empowered, I'm all for the equality of it. But with equal treatment comes equal responsibility. And that's where the problem is. They want to talk about having equality or empowerment. That's fine. But then they have to have the same responsibility. If that guy is making you unhappy, don't take half his stuff. Leave. Go build your own fortune. They don't have
that's
to take
right.
Half
but
his
in.
Stuff.
Right. I agree, Jake. And in this country, women define equality as being superior to a man. There's an old saying, women always say this and they say it amongst themselves. As a young boy, I was always a sleuth, right? And I was always curious about life. Curiosity killed the cat, but in my case, I have many, many lives. So I used to listen to women, teenage women, college age women, and you know, when my mother would bring me someplace, I would always listen to the wives, and they thought, oh, he's just a dumb kid reading a comic book. The wealth of information that I gleaned off women, I study them. I am the ultimate observer. I observe them at a young age, 6 years old, 7, 8, 9, 10. I like women. I dig them. I love them. But I also know, as a man, you need to know what you're dealing with. You're dealing with
That's
a female.
Right.
With your little hamster brain, and that's what, and she, the way women think is that her money is hers, but your money is also hers and negotiable.
Right.
They will
that's
never
right.
give you their money, but your money as a man, it's open season, boys. And that's how women, that's how they're mentally hardwired. And so coming up, right, I always noticed that, you know, and it starts out with the girls would date for dinner back in the day. And you're right, the sugar baby thing, hey, I say this is what you ladies wanted. You wanted to be, you know, you wanted guys to give you stuff. And I have no problem with that because We don't have a president right now, Biden, who supports marriage anyway. So these girls that are hot, look, they should get what they can. And I think we should have, like, you can go to South America or Mexico or even Asia. A man would leave work, and they can do it today, this very moment. In America, we've criminalized sex. And that's why they have the Me Too movement, which you brought up, Jake. It's to get rid of guys' access to sex and pussy, be blunt, to get rid of that. They don't want the guys to hook up at work. They don't want you to have fun at work. They don't. If you do, they want to sue you. They want to fire you. It's an attack on men and your sexuality. They've legalized sex in this country and made it a sin and a crime. Go ahead, man.
Well, I was going to say, is that we're seeing statistically a lot of damage happening to the men out there. What we're seeing is men are not going for the PhD programs. You can track that at the university level, the records on that. The majority of people that are getting into the PhD programs are women. What we're seeing happening with men as we're going forward is that they're dropping out of society. They're choosing to sit at home. They're blooming later and later and later, and they want to just sit around and play Xbox. And, you know, I think it's extremely dangerous. But for anybody who's out there listening, you know, they need to be like you. They need to look at you as an example. Like you said, you were coming up as a kid. You were finding out what women were really all about, listening to them, observing them. You are not influenced by what the mainstream media, the culture is trying to push on us. We do not have to sit there and take it. Just like I was telling you my story about my encounter with the millionaire guy on his jet, he had never thought to himself the option of just standing up for himself and going, no, this is how it's going to be, and that's it. Why? Because the culture had told him that that was not acceptable. You can do what you want to do. You're a man. You're a free man. You're an American man. You don't have to be pushed around by the mainstream media. You don't have to be pushed around by anybody. Do what you think is right. And, hey, people might call you a villain, or people might, say that you're not being fair or whatnot. Hey, man, let those people deal with their own lives. You do what's right for you. But don't let somebody take advantage of you just because, you know, some kind of Me Too hashtag baloney. You don't need that.
That's right. And, Jake, you're absolutely correct there. Men all over the world, whether they live in Eastern Europe, South America, Central America, Asia, I tell guys all the time, expand your mind. If you read my book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, it will expand your mind. Most men, like Jake just said, they are socially conditioned to never look beyond America's borders, to never look beyond their own town, right, or city. But let's say you're in Chile, or let's say you're in Argentina or something. A man can work a full-time job, and if he's a bachelor, he can go get a beer and walk into a cantina. In the cantina, there will be 20, 30, 40 young, voluptuous, hot, sexy women. And it's legal for him to have a good time with, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, and nod, nod. It's the price of a pizza in most of those countries. And, you know, the guy can get a beer. He can relax. He's not married. He's not hurting anybody. He just wants to have some physical communication with the lady of his choice. Nothing wrong with that, to be polite to our family-friendly audience. But the thing is, and all of these people that listen to my show have heard these things a million times before, so it's nothing new. But the thing is, that's how a lot of men live. I've interviewed men overseas, and they go, I never want to move to America because you've criminalized sex. You made it legal. We make all these things legal. America loves litigation. And this is the downfall of our country. We are the modern-day Rome. But some of those guys overseas have a better lot. Yeah, they don't have the big SUV. Maybe they don't have a big house in the suburbs. But you know what? The one thing that they can get on demand in those countries is women, hot young women, are at their beck and call 24/7. That's right. And the women in those countries know it. And that's why they're very traditional. And when they do get married to a man, they make damn sure he is taken care of all of his needs, because they know there's no jobs for women in those countries. And that's why every woman in the world wants to move to America, right?
That's right. They're looking for those American men. And, you know, on that note, for anybody who's listening, keep in mind that El Salvador, you know, a South American country, just announced that they are making Bitcoin their official currency. And if you are an American man out there, if you own 3 Bitcoins, you can get citizenship in El Salvador if you chose to do so. So you might look into that as, you know, dual citizenship might be a nice ride for you down there. If you've been investing in Bitcoin or doing well in cryptocurrency or something like that, El Salvador might be kind of a paradise, at least to put on your radar. I just wanted to mention to people about that. On that note, Baron von Wehhan, I got to run off. I've got some things I got to take care of, but I think that your listeners are benefiting greatly from your very wise words.
Thank you, Jake. I love you, man. Hey, have a great time out there in Las Vegas. Thanks for your call, and we'll talk again soon.
All right.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye. Have a great night. Thanks, buddy. Jake Vegas, folks, calling from the Las Vegas Strip. So glad he called tonight. We had a lot to talk about and a lot of things to cover. I always tell women this in America. I love American women. I think they're very hot. In many ways, the problem with American women is their attitude, and it's not all their fault to give them a buffer here. They've been conditioned. They've been brainwashed to hate men. They've been brainwashed to hate daddy, to hate their brothers, and a lot of it is a lot of learning that they're going to have to unlearn as they go forward in life, because they're never going to get ahead by living in their sleazy apartment, dating militant Democrats who all they want to do is impregnate them and leave and never raise a kid with them. They're going to get black eyes, and on there, it's going to be hard for her to make a job. I mean, to even keep a job or get a job. A lot of young women, I think, need to be reeducated in that sense. Maybe some of them will listen to this show. We want them to do well, too. This is not an anti-woman show at all or anything of that nature. We want the men and the women, the real people of the country, to get together and find happiness. But we have to talk about these things because these other social ills are in the toxic witch's brew, so to speak, of our country, and they have come full force into this century in 2021. It is true that, guys, I encourage you to look overseas, go to YouTube, pull up other countries where men can be real men, and the women are more than happy to make you feel like a real man. so glad you're here tonight. This is the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy radio show, our encore show, kind of a special show I threw in the mix for our June 15th, 2021. Now, our next show, episode 3, will be after the July 4th holidays on July the 6th. We just had Jake Vegas on from the Las Vegas Strip. Now let's go to our tech wizard, the Irish Pirate, and get his 2 cents worth about the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. How you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, as always when we do these shows, the difference being I'm not on my exquisite compound on the north side. I'm usually at home on a night like this, and the wind is blowing 60-plus miles an hour. And
I just heard it outside my studio. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. And so it's dangerous and hot and everything. And in my house, I'm cool, I'm comfortable, and I'm used to this. I've been living in Phoenix for 17 years now, and I kind of like it. I like it where the worst enemy out there could be Mother Nature, and you got to learn to deal with that woman. But frankly, I can't think of a place anywhere that anyone lives if you want to be able to get along better. It would be nice if the weather was a little more harsh, because that way people have to get along. If it's 60 degrees below zero and you're out of kerosene, I don't care if you hate your neighbor, you're going to learn how to beg. That's
yes.
How that's going to work.
Yes.
So I really enjoyed the previous conversation. As you well know, I am well-versed and very interested in what makes the rules where people live. And America
yes.
has made a drastic downturn over the course of my lifetime. I'm in my 50s. And I have found that probably the worst enemies that are out there are the American institutions that have been taken over by people who don't get it. The reason many of the other countries have stayed the way they have is they've had no reason to change. But America has been thriving on change for a long time. And so it didn't take very long for our institutions to add a word here, drop a word there, and suddenly you don't have any freedoms or abilities to really enjoy yourself like we proved you could do in the past, which is what brought on this show and brought on Von Wehunt
yes.
specifically. So,
absolutely.
And the Master's Guide says it very often in the book, that those values, whether they be bachelor or whether they be marriage, were certainly more sustainable in years past, just simply because we honored each other, we honored our country, and in my case, as I've gotten older, I've honored God more and more. And part of the
yes.
problem with that is that obviously the courts and the laws and everything else have not. Television have completely abandoned that God that I serve. And so it makes it very difficult. Because in that regard, I'm not looking to be somebody's sugar daddy. I would like to see somebody who where I can step in occasionally and raise a child too. But that never happened in my entire life because we're in America. And the courts.
That's right.
I don't want to say this. But yeah, 70% of the divorces are brought on by women because 100% of the cases are brought in by divorce courts. And that, I
right.
think, is a more available problem to cite than the women themselves. That we're not that
right.
way. That if the courts weren't the way they were, the women wouldn't be the way they were. And it's a logical decision that they make, which I would love to blame them all I could, except considering that I'm not married now. But the reality is I have usually ended up in church praying, please let the court get rid of the problem that it's created. That's usually
mm-hmm.
what happens. The woman just simply said, I'm going to take this option that's available to me, and I fight it, and it ends up being the court that makes the problem.
Yes.
More times than not, whether it be at child support, which I've gone through, and 2 divorces, which, well, really technically 3 divorces. Because I married the same woman twice, but
mm-hmm.
in one instance, the divorce was easy and did not go through court. And the second one wouldn't have gone through court, but the court screwed up the paperwork honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happen to have a friend who was a $600,000 a year lawyer retired from California, who came in with me one day, basically said, "I'm going to see what's going wrong here." And he put mm-hmm. up a rant, and everybody rolled their eyes and actually did the right thing and fixed it.
mm-hmm. Right.
And so I find it's who your friends are that help you enjoy this world the way it is nowadays, especially with all the litigation going on. But in so doing, I'll be honest, Von Wehunt, I have completely lost respect for mock authority. And that includes, obviously, doctors, you know, not just the lawyers and the judges and people like that, and the people who push them on you, like insurance companies and the VA and things like that. But,
right.
Here we are, traditionalist men, saying that we honor not only the marriage of yesteryear that had a lot more faithfulness, a lot more happiness, but we also honor the bachelorhood of yesteryear where you had something to look forward to.
Right.
I mean, you needed to be prepared. And so on show number one, I went over how honored I am to be one of those bachelors, that I really want to be able to look forward to what I got because of what I've created for myself and someone to share. But unfortunately, mm-hmm. I don't want to share anything I own with a courtroom these days.
That's right.
You know, they're going to want their cut for everything. I mean, the cost of filing to responding to a divorce petition.
Sure.
How much has that gone up during your lifetime? How much has...
hundreds of dollars.
Resolving a conflict with a neighbor, if it ever goes to court, is going to be ridiculous.
Right. Well, it's called legal lawfare, and it's designed to drain you on your side of the ledger to where you capitulate. That's the way law works in America, and it sucks more and more of your hard-earned dollars into the court system, which is what it's designed to do, and it will impoverish you as a result, being a man.
And I've gone through that. Yeah, and I'll tell you what the response is. A couple times now, when there's nobody around, I have been flagged by a policeman who just happens to be watching a stop sign with nobody around it, which makes me shake my head. And mm-hmm. they'll stop me. And that's when they'll figure out, number one, I love this state. I love the most of the rules that we truly enjoy are more available here in Arizona than in many of the other states, especially the ones that came in around, 1789, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
There have been several more decades and centuries to be able to whittle away at that freedom that even obviously whoever's in control of our law now is jealous of. They are jealous our bachelorhood. They're jealous of our sovereignty. They're jealous of our freedoms. And I think that's why America is kind of going down the tubes. We did have it, and people wanted it, or at least they wanted it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're fighting for anymore is, wow, I used to be able to go out on the street. You know, I don't need to move to a foreign country, for example, that came up earlier. I don't need to move to a foreign country. I just need the women to stop being brainwashed. And
that's right. And that's why
to keep that from happening.
I gave the women some political cover. I said, it's not completely your fault. Though a lot of you women know better and you like this empowerment thing, which actually is designed for her detriment. A lot of women don't view it that way because they think I get more stuff in America.
Early on.
Well, a lot of these women are going to end up. Right. Early on, they're going to piss it all away. We all know that. And they will ride some men through hell and back in the court system. She's going to end up being lonely, a bag lady. And there's a thing called karma that a lot of women don't seem to understand. What you do in life echoes in eternity, like in the movie Gladiator, that famous quote. And it's true. What the women do in this life will echo an eternity. It will be their karma. It will affect them in the here and now and the afterlife. I'm firmly convinced of that. A lot of women look at men as a walking ATM machine. and that may be okay if she wants to be a sugar baby. Right, right. Yeah. We only wish we were walking ATM machines, right? But my point is that a lot of women are brainwashed, and they need to unlearn that conditioning. And that's what this show is also for the women, too. We want them to realize from a male point of view how we see you. You know, in America, God forbid if you critically analyze a woman. I am an independent thinker, as you are, Irish, and I can do that. Most men don't have the ability to critically analyze women. They're always told, she's wonderful. Women do no wrong, right? Yeah, you'll watch a TV show. Aren't American women the greatest? And everyone goes, yeah, they clap. You know, it's all this constant, this drivel and this BS that's put out there. And a lot of men know, no, not all women are wonderful. Not all women have my best interests at heart. A lot of them are out to get me, as I said in my monologue. And there's a lot of great women that are out there. The problem is they are few and far between with every passing year. The new crop of women look at men as, what can you do for me? And that's why we and of course, if you're a man, you're always badgered when you're young, as I was, why aren't you married? Where's the wife, right? Well, I would tell, I'm not going to make any mistakes. I either find her or I don't. So be it. I'm cool either way. And I had the strength to say that as a very young man in college and 25 and 30 and so on. Most men need to develop that strength. You know,
I applaud you, Von Wehunt. I applaud you that you can look at a situation, despite the fact that happiness-wise it could be a critical decision to make, that you know, most people realize they would be better off with a supportive woman than without one. But you're willing to admit, what if she's not available or it just doesn't happen that way? And you could look the same way there as, what if I'm not going to be a millionaire? What if I'm not going to be successful in business? What if I'm not going to own my own home because they're too expensive where I live? What's going to happen? The answer is nothing different. Why should that change me at all? If I am valuable, then why does it matter whether or not somebody else ties themselves in with me to succeed this way? Why does it matter if I don't have that status symbol that everybody else thinks I'm supposed to have for me to be successful? Maybe I just don't agree with that part of society. I'm so independent that I'm not like you. Hey, love me for who I am, because I sure have figured out that trying to bow to the whims of everyone else is basically slavery. And
that's,
I'm not
going
to go there.
And that's what the show's about, to free one enslaved mind at a time for all men in America. We're trying to free minds here.
For me, Von Wehunt, what you found out, because we've sat and talked a few times.
Yes, we have.
And I am such an independent, vicious thinker. I analyze everything, including my own analysis, that I'm willing to learn about people as fast as I possibly can. Now, in your case, I said one day during the first times that I was on your show, I said, Von Wehunt, I want to meet you. And you said, well, if you want to meet me, buy my book and I'll sign it.
Right.
So a couple shows later, and I, by the way, even back then, I refused to do it with Amazon. I found an independent bookseller that had your book, and I paid a little more for it, but it was worth it. Called you up, and I said, Von Wehunt, I got your book. Now, sign it. And so we arranged and met.
Yes.
And you signed it, and that led us to the current topic on the show. I took one look at your signature. I said, do you know what your signature tells you? And you said, stop. I said, why stop? I'm an expert at this. I know what I'm doing. I've been, dude, that's good radio. Stop. It belongs on the air.
That's right.
And I thought for a minute. I said, all right. And again, the same attitude I just mentioned.
Maybe the analysis is going to go wrong. Maybe you're not going to want to hear what I have to say. Who knows? But you said you want it on the air. So I said, all right, Von Weehunt, we're going to do it on the air. And that was some of the best radio we've ever done. Some of the best ever.
It was.
Because we let it fly. We let it go. We let it be real. Ironically, Von Weehunt, that's exactly the way I meet women to this day. I just let it fly. I use every scientific and social skill I can possibly manage to extract as much information as I can and just let it go. Sometimes, however,
yes.
I got a really good story for you with a twist on it. Somebody that I've already mentioned in this conversation, but not you or me, just happened to be in a grocery store near here, and I couldn't help but notice a beautiful blonde in front of me at the local grocery store. I'll admit it was Bash's, full of all of them here that has a little bit of a chain to it. And she was buying a heavy bottle of alcohol. I think it was rum or vodka. Anyway, for a woman of her age, around 43, to be buying her own alcohol with that kind of beauty, I knew there was something missing. But to me, this did not calculate. This is not America. And I imagined that the only other person I knew at the time that would have done such a thing, and that was an ex-girlfriend who just happened to be a clairvoyant empath. You know, she felt things that other people could not feel. She, even though she wasn't truly an introvert, she didn't like going out in society because she could feel all these feelings going on. And so when we got onto the parking lot, the woman turned around and she said, I need to talk to you. And I went, me? You want to talk to me? Like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, but I gotta admit, before we get started, I just want to tell you I'm a clairvoyant empath.
Hmm.
And I thought, okay, now I know what this means. And by the way, if this ever gets to the girlfriend-boyfriend thing, I'm going to say, thank you, sir. Can I have another? They're wonderful
right.
people. They understand people. And
right.
Instead, my friend, who the $600,000 a year lawyer, had just deceased.
Right.
And she turned around and she
right.
said, I got a message from the other side. And his name is Merland. And she said, it's kind of from your mom's name. The name sounds like Marilyn. And I knew exactly
mm-hmm.
what was going on here. Because Merlin was an independent thinker like you and I. He
mm-hmm.
We would have the best arguments ever. And he kept telling me after my last divorce, he said, you got to get back into the field. You've got to get back out there and take your lumps, take your swings. You can't just hide out and be afraid. You've got to be the person that you are, whether you succeed or whether you lose, just like we're talking about. And so posthumously, what he had done, just like all the good jokes he's told in the past, he went out and found the most beautiful empath and tell her, I desperately need you to get to my friend. I got a message to tell him. But
what was the message?
She's the message. She's the message.
She is.
I found this beautiful woman for you. Listen to
Love
her
it.
Very carefully. There's a message for you. And I'm going like, oh, baby, I hear your message loud and clear.
God, I love
Merlin
it.
Merlin found the most special woman in the world to be able to deliver the message. And I know empaths, there's no way she's going to be interested in dating while she's in this
right,
mood. Why
right.
do you think she bought the alcohol? She's going to turn
love
it off. You can't turn it off. And so I'm going like, thank
Irish.
You for this opportunity, Merlin.
That is so cool. Hey, tell the audience briefly what you saw in my signature and my penmanship when I wrote and signed your book.
I'm going to strike the word penmanship because handwriting analysis and penmanship do not get along. I'll just say that up
okay.
front. If you do quote-unquote proper penmanship, that means you listen to what the world has to tell you. And you and I are both not like that. You are not
right.
known for penmanship. Okay, so
I love that.
What called you in that show primarily, I think that the audience needs to know, is that you're a shot arrow.
that your ideas were already set in stone at the time that we met, and you're moving forward based on the analyses that you know. And so, how do I want to put this? It's kind of funny because then you attract people like me, and you become our biggest audience. I mean, it's kind of interesting. You're still the shot arrow that you are. But, and the reason why the Von Wehunt show on Thursday nights has been so successful is that it attracts an audience of people that expect and can command to be listened to.
Yes.
In the meantime, you expect to be listened to. You expect to have that star power. But it's not specifically so that everybody can get on their knees and worship you. It's to create a group of people, a set of ideas working around you that you can live with, that you can be in the environment that you've created. And so
you
that's what
it.
This show is all about, is to create
exactly.
yet another environment that you can live with. Because talking just hardcore cutting-edge politics is not enough for you. There's more to you than that, and obviously, when I got your book, I learned more than that, and when I saw the handwriting, I saw more than that. And the hard part is we don't agree on everything. Therefore, what we do agree on is driving us to where we're going to go. We'll just leave the stuff we don't need behind during the times that we're together, because it's not every day of the week or anything. It's precious. This phone call is precious to me. I give you my tech wizardry, and in return, I get some airtime. I need the airtime, too. I used to open a microphone and talk to hundreds of thousands of people, and I miss it. And I'm not going back to commercial radio specifically just to do that and feed the baby every day. But I can sure help you do yours. I figure at my age, it's a nice way to commit without being committed, if you will, like those ladies in those foreign countries. It works for me.
I love it. Irish, thank you so much. I mean, with that, man, what a great rendition. I love it. Have a great night out there. Our tech wizard, folks, the Irish pirate in all his fame and glory.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Thank you for
Thank you, sir. Awesome phone call. Thank you, Irish. Love that. Really well said, Irish. Well said, well thought out. He's got a very clear, concise mind, much like your host, by the way. And I like that. The Irish part is very instrumental in the show, and he provides a lot of good audio and promos for the show. And I do many myself. I cut and splice some things here in my underground studio. And if you just joined us, this is the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. It's our encore show. You can dial in at 563-999-3437. I see where Brett the Surfer has been on hold. We'll get to him in a moment. He's one of our great regular callers with a surfboard in hand. But guys out there, buy my book for your sons. Buy it for your friends. Buy it for your newly divorced best friend and man about town. My book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, is jam-packed with manly wisdom from the ages. It is a big book, but then so is the galaxy, my friends. It is large and expansive, and you will need the tools going forward in life to be a success, to expand your mind. You will have to navigate the minefield of life. Like a World War II soldier walking over the Normandy beaches. And this book will show you how. The book may look thick, but the font is somewhat large, and I designed it that way to dominate any man's bookshelf or den. The book dominates any table it's put on. People immediately want to grab it and leaf through it and look at it. It's really an easy read. I recommend you read 4 to 5 pages per night before going to bed. In a few months, you will have completely read the entire thick book. After you read a few pages each night, before you retire for the evening, after a long day of work and toil and putting up with the PC BS America, then let the book work its magic on your subconscious mind. The book is magical. And then you'll wake up as a reborn new man of the millennium. you will be, I guarantee you, fearless, rogue, strong, a leader of your pack. You will be dynamic, innovative, and your own living legend in your own time. Yes, you will. And many of our soldiers are deployed overseas. Most soldiers are bachelors. Many of our men are sent to Asia. We fought in Korea and Vietnam. A lot of saber rattling about China. And many of our men are deployed all over the world. Well, when they're deployed, a lot of the guys, well, this is how it sounds on the streets of any foreign capital with our U.S. troops. Yes. Got to love that little, well, I made that myself. Hope you enjoy it. We have some fun here in the studio. As I enjoy grabbing tracks and I have my own way, as our tech wizard does as well, the Irish pirate. Look, guys, when you call the show, here's some ground rules for the new debut show, which we're on tonight. When you call, just know that we will talk about all things which affect a man's life today, whether it be chicks, dating, relationships, working out, diet, sex, God forbid, vice, the law, the economy, politics, the dreaded court system in America, child support, oh my God, talk about broke city, kids, the nuclear family, traditional life versus the wild and heathenistic bachelor life, the pros and cons, work, war and peace, and everything else in between. When you call, have an angle how your story or quote or call pertains to the Bachelor of America today, whether he is never married, just divorced, or thinking of it as a MGTOW way to go forward in life. It's all good, baby. Rest assured, we will cover a lot of ground on each and every show. Again, our next episode will be episode 3, July 6th. I'm sure I'll have another encore show in July as well. I'm feeling it, man. Now, back in the 1960s, there was movie trailers, and there was all kinds of biker films with hot biker chicks and things of that nature. And it sounds a lot like this.
This chick's out for kicks and in for trouble with the born losers.
Just how is a mom initiated?
By getting it from everybody.
We're not coming out of orbit for 3 days.
Ah! Look at this! 600 Somalis!
These are the born losers, the sickest sickle gang that ever terrorized a town while the law stood helpless.
If only one of us had the guts to just cut them down.
I've been wanting to crack at you from the beginning.
Are you planning on fighting or talking me to death?
Mr. District Attorney, any truth to the rumors that the girls will refuse to testify?
Remember, all you need is one witness to obtain an indictment.
Born losers, and they know it.
Please, don't do that.
How about a pretty please on your knees?
On your knees.
Billy Jack, I'm going to kill you if it's the last thing I do.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, you should always be able to find the show on Blog Talk Radio, or you can always dial 563-999-3437. Thought you would enjoy that little Born Losers rendition there. And now let's get Brett the Surfer on the line here. Brett, how you doing tonight, my friend?
How are you, man? Oh, I'm
doing great,
man. Just enjoying 115-degree weather here.
Yeah, exactly, man. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're about.
So, yeah, I mean, look, Arizona's known for its we are famous for our heat, man, and we're now in the blast furnace for 4 months. The rest of the year is downright gorgeous, right? But we're in summer, so this is our bad weather, folks, here in the Arizona desert.
Yeah, and just taking the show in there, Vaughn, and I think you've got a lot of valid points, and I just wanted to say, you know, how important it is, you know, that if you decide that you do companion or you do want to have a family, that you pick the right person, you know, and you know, never rush into a marriage, you know. That's my advice, because you can, just like we were talking about earlier, you know, you get the wrong person, you know, you may be seen as a mark, you know, and you don't want to meet someone like that. So, you know, I think you should date someone long enough to figure out who they truly are, you know, or don't get married, you know, so.
Right. Now, we've had a few people, Brett, that have recently chimed in on the show in my other chat room that said that if you're having problems finding the show, folks, you can always go to Blog Talk Radio under Entertainment and find this show. This show is not listed under conservative politics, unlike the Thursday show. So I think some people might have went to the conservative politics branch trying to find the show, but it's posted on the Blog Talk calendar. And additionally, they can always dial in and be silent and just dial our number, which I've said three or four times here, 563-999-3437, to listen in. Now, this show, as you know, Brett, I mean, most guys will get married at some point, but most men now in America, they are bachelors for more years, more adult years, than they are married. And that, you know, back in the day of our dad's day, guys got married at age 30, right, or their late 20s, and they stayed married for 30, 40, 50 years. That's not true in America today, and that's the premise of my show. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think about you might only be married once, and you were 35 when you got married. So you're single 35 years, you're married for what, 4 or 5 years, and maybe that marriage ends. So yeah, people are single a lot longer. And I think for good reason. I think they've seen horror stories and seen how much a divorce can cost someone, and someone losing a lot of a house, you know, just a lot of their portfolio and things like that. So, yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, my book is not an anti-marriage book. It's just simply I showcase and put a bright, very bright spotlight on the bachelor in America and all the comings and goings. A lot of things affect the men of this country. You know, our last two political shows on Thursday night, I had a show called The War on White Males in America, Part 1 and Part 2. We delved into the war. There is a war being waged against men and against the bachelor. I mean, men get conditioned, you got to get married. No, you don't have to get married. You don't have to get married unless you want to get married. I'm trying to empower the men of this country. You do what you want to do, irregardless of what society says and your family. Society is effed up. Just look at society. I mean, my God, they've got there's transgender parades. We've got nothing wrong with that for some people. But my point is, you've got all kinds of stuff going on. You've got the political correct movement, the Me Too movement, the feminazi movement, the militant leftist liberal movement. And you got so many things in this country attacking the quote unquote, the you know, what I called in the last show, the white heterosexual male of America. He's under attack.
That's because
he's not gay. He is not transgender. He is not a militant leftist. And whatever color or creed you are, whatever the color of melanin in your skin is, my book is for all bachelors of all colors and creeds, because most men in America go through this through their own family, their own area of life, their own neighborhood, right? So I don't care if you're Hispanic. I don't care if you are a white, you know, if you're of any color or creed. You do what you want to do, guys. Do what you want to do. Don't let society dictate to you that you don't have to do a damn thing. You don't have to do, you don't have to marry that girl if you don't want to. And if you, and if you want to, I am the first one to say more power to you. What are your thoughts, Brett?
Yeah. It's a personal decision, you know, and it might be,
yes.
You know, I think there are more, there are just more, single men than there were, 30 years ago, today.
And you and I have talked about that. There's also Agenda 21 and Agenda 30 going on too, which they don't, where they've also discouraged men and women from getting together and raising a traditional nuclear family as well.
Yeah, they definitely population control. You know, it's just that's part of the plan. So yeah, I mean. But, I mean, it's a, I mean, can you handle having kids? Maybe some people can't handle that kind of stress, or, maybe they can't handle the stress of, you know, of a relationship or a marriage, because it's a big commitment. And, you know, it's a personal decision. So it's up to the individual, you know, and more power to, if you feel it's something for you and having a family is an important thing to you, then, you know, do it, but do it with the right person. If you pick the wrong person, there's an old saying that the person you marry is 99% of your happiness or 99% of your misery. So hopefully you have the 99% of your happiness. But, you know, it's just be cautious. And if it isn't something for you, you know, keep it simple. You know, the old sales saying, keep it simple, stupid, you know.
Right, right, exactly, man. I agree, and guys need to, you know, think for yourselves, boys. Don't let society or your woman or your family lead you around by the nose. I personally don't care if guys get married or not. All I say is make an informed decision for yourself. It's highly personal. It's like throwing a rock in a pond, right, with the ripple effect. You would know that better than anybody, Brett. There's financial angles. There's children. There's legal angles. And, look, it can be a beautiful life, but you got to know damn well what you're doing. And that's what my book's about. Guys, know what you're doing. What are your final thoughts, Brett?
It's so true, Bon. It's you need to know exactly what you're doing, and you need to realize maybe you're someone that you don't have a strong threshold for stress or things like that. And you know, I wouldn't recommend you know, that maybe it just isn't something for you. So it's not for everybody. You know, it can be a beautiful thing, or it can be the worst nightmare you may have ever had, you know? So, but it's truly a personal decision, and you need to make the right decision though. Don't make the wrong decision, and life's too short. So it's
I
truly
agree.
A personal
Brett,
decision.
Thank you,
and
man.
Think independently. Thank you, Vaughn.
Yeah,
appreciate
think independently. Folks, you're from Brett the Surfer, man. Thanks a lot, Brett. We'll talk to you on Thursday night, hopefully. Have a great
All
night,
right.
buddy.
All right, man.
Folks, you know, you got to think independently. You got, you know, outside of society. I want you guys to be thinking more and more along those lines. I think you're going to be a lot happier. In pre-COVID America, we had the hot Charlie's Angels. It sounds a lot like this back in the day.
Once upon a time, there were three little girls who went to the police academy. And they were each assigned very hazardous duties. But I took them away from all that, and now they work for me. My name is Charlie.
That. This is the show that you've been waiting for. This is the show many guys have called me for years. Hey, why don't you do a show on The Bachelor Life? Well, guys, I finally brokered the deal and we got it done. So we got a show for you. So no more whining out to there. You've got a show, a platform for you. Now use it. I want you to call the show and future shows and email the show. And also, we want you to be part of our hard-hitting political show, which kind of segues and morphs into the stuff on our Thursday night show. This is the show your mother has warned you about. So be ready and be on guard, America, because we are coming at you like a freight train and a roaring tiger and lion. I want you guys to be a puncher out there. Be loud and proud. You don't have to apologize to anyone. We have nothing to apologize for and nothing to worry about. We have the tiger of life by the tail. And we have the Hollywood radio persona. Yours truly, Yvonne Wehunt. As I am always at your service, America. We're going to come back here in a moment. And I've got some emails that have come in. And some people want to love to talk to me or text me during my shows. Why, I don't know, but I shall return. Von Wehan Show is always available. And we are back. Now, I will read you, that was a little bit of Devo there, if you were enjoying that for the 1980s. Love that song. Now, my book, I will quote you. In the 1960s, we had hippie bachelors in the summer of love and heroic warrior bachelors who came home from Vietnam. In the 1970s, the bachelor went disco, looking like John Travolta in his white pimp suit in the Saturday Night Fever movie, and he even explored the peace movement. In the 1980s, the bachelor reemerged as a preppy, or as the infamous character Gordon Gekko style, bad boy capitalist pig of Wall Street, as they took center stage from the faded hippie culture and again ruled the day. In the 1990s, the bachelor was a techie of sorts and dominated the landscape, and suddenly the high school geek was cool again in the coffee houses, and the band Nirvana was all the rage. In the 2000s, the bachelor went stealth and has now reemerged to again take his rightful place on the throne and altar of manhood. The retro lounge scene and crooner music and Playboy and lingerie parties have been brought back to full life and are now once again all the rage and emulate the classic 1960s and 1970s Playboy mansion scene in true Italiano and Guido Goomba style. From the caveman to the pirates of the Caribbean, to the medieval knights of old, to the Hollywood movie star icon, and to the suburban hip bachelor of today, just know that you still rule, Mr. Bachelor, like a Roman Caesar. People hinge what they do on your every word. You see, friends, there is an old saying, and it goes like this. The more things change, the more things stay the same. Never forget that. Everything recycles sooner or later in life. What was once considered old is now new again. We have come full circle, my friends. And our bachelor journey is just beginning. So read on per your pleasure. Our audio book, by the way, I'm trying to develop that as well for the book. I decided to get an audio book years ago, but it got derailed, so we are working on that now. And that was an excerpt from The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. And I'll read you a little bit more here in the waning moments of the show. In the early 1800s, the bachelor won his freedom and the business of building up a new nation and paving the way for future generations was well underway after the American Revolution. The early bachelors ventured out west for the gold rush of 1848, since young men have always wanted to get ahead in life and stake their claim in a larger, big enterprise. Railroads were built. We tied and connected the West Coast with the East Coast, and this country was on the move. In the 1870s and 1880s, there were cowboy bachelors, and in the 1920s, we had the rise of the big city bachelor. The 1930s saw the bachelor in breadlines or heading out west via the Grapes of Wrath to find work. In the 1940s, the bachelor went off to fight the Great War, quote-unquote, in Europe and Asia. And the 1950s bachelor came back home to marry his high school or college sweetheart to breed and pursue happiness. And he eventually raised a large family and helped get America moving again. That is the way of the bachelor, the way of America. America, in many ways, pioneered the retro bachelor hipdom that's very obvious in all the 1960s and 1970s movies. And it really is true. The bachelor is the king. And most folks don't know that most wars that America has fought, most of the soldiers have been bachelors. I looked at her and she looked at me. I looked at you, and that, my friends, was sung by the Doors. Fantastic. Jim Morrison and the Doors. Remember Batman? Well, Batman was also a bachelor, and he lived in stately Wayne Manor. Used to love that retro late 1960s TV show. Always my favorite. I bought them all on DVD a few years back, and it sounds like this.
Batman
and Robin
with exclusive news for KHJ listeners.
It's the Batphone secret number contest presented by Boss Radio.
There's a terrific prize for the first KHJ listener to guess the secret number of our Batphone.
You've seen us answering the Batphone on TV. It's a special hotline Commissioner Gordon uses to contact us whenever there's trouble.
There are 7 digits in the Batphone secret number. Listen to what you'll win if yours is the first correct answer received by KHJ.
You'll visit Batman and me at 20th Century Fox and be our guest for lunch at the studio.
Then you'll ride to the Batcave in the Batmobile, where Robin and I will present you with a 1966 console color television set.
To visit us and win the color TV, just guess the secret Batphone number.
Watch for Robin and me on Channel 7 Wednesday and Thursday nights. And keep it on KHJ for more clues in the Batphone secret number contest.
That's how real TV and radio used to sound in America. The history of the bachelor, from my book, in the annals of human history, there have always been bachelors. If we look back to our prior ancestors, most of society 1,000 years ago until now was mainly agrarian and rural in nature. The first bachelor pad was a cave. Thus, more people grew up on farms, and there was a huge economic need and stimulus to get married and raise children for the benefit of providing human capital and labor for the family farm. It's all tied into economics, folks. Families were formed and were needed for economic output and chores and related work around this matrix of family farms, which spanned the globe and eventually created small towns. The birth of cities and city-states made it easier for the bachelor to grow and flourish. Today, with our modern cities and our vast technological, can't even talk today, and digital society, it is easier than ever to be a bachelor and to pursue this level of happiness at all levels of society. No longer is there a stigma of not being married, as now both men and women have more choices than ever before and styles of living in the history of the entire world. Boy, you know that's true. People may complain about it, but isn't this what everyone wanted the last 20 or 30 years in the country and the world? Well, everyone finally got what they wanted and asked for it in spades. Now we can pursue what careers and lifestyles we want with impunity. And now the starting and the creation of a new nuclear family unit is now an individual-based decision, not necessarily mandated by family, society, creed, culture, religion, or economics. In every era and decade, there have always been bachelor characters that have emerged from societal evolution. From the caveman to the modern man, most decades have their share of colorful bachelor personalities. We thank you for being here tonight on our encore show, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, with some political content, of course. We are always on the lookout for new callers and new material. Our hard-hitting political show will be this Thursday night, and I thank you all for being here. As I sign off from my underground studio and bunker, I want you all to do well. If you're a bachelor man in America, have hope, because help is on the way. Folks, have a great night. Thank you very much. We shall talk to you very soon. Rest assured. And we thank you all for calling tonight. We had Jake Vegas from the Las Vegas Strip, the Irish Pirate, and Brett the Surfer. Fantastic calls and content. As I am your host, farewell.
Get out.